Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches.
Well, this morning we will be talking about correction. But before we begin, I invite you to bow your heads and pray. Father in heaven, once again, we want to ask for you to send us your Holy Spirit. We don't know how to understand the scripture, but your spirit does. Teach us and help us to be willing to comprehend what you want us to understand. But more importantly, Lord, we pray that you'll give us opportunities where we can apply this to a specific area of our lives. Please speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by taking a look at two stories in the scriptures, one from Old Testament and the other one is from New. Why don't you turn your Bible with me to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is the first story that we're going to look at. It's maybe familiar to some of you, but it's a story of David. This is from the life of David. And just to give you a little bit of context, at this point, David had committed the worst mistake of his life. And that is creating a scheme to commit adultery by killing her husband. So now, in this chapter, chapter 12, the Lord sent a prophet to confront the king. And in his wisdom, the prophet rebukes the king in a form of a story. So let's pick up in verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had how much?
Nothing.
Nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him." Verse 4, "And the traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But what did he do? He took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Could you imagine the wrath and indignation that rises up in the heart of David? As he heard this story, as a just man, he knew the rich man did something wrong. It was a terrible mistake to do that. So quickly, he just pronounced judgment against this rich man. And up to this point, the king didn't know that the rich man was him. Now let's jump to verse 7. "Then Nathan said to David in plain, simple words, 'You are the man. You are the man.'" But how did David respond to this correction? Let's jump to verse 13. The Bible says, "So David said to Nathan, I have what? I have sinned against the Lord. You can see that the king of Israel in this story accepted correction. The king of Israel, who was anointed by God, instated to the position by God, accepted correction. Let's take a look at another story. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Let's draw a contrast here. Matthew chapter 19, we will begin in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Here we find a rich young man who inquired Jesus, right? Verse 16. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Isn't that a good question? A wonderful question. This man is interested to receive eternal life. Jesus then replied in verse 17, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And then Jesus started listing some of the Ten Commandments to this young man. And then to this list, the young man replied, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Then Jesus says, in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, what does he have to do? Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You will have a treasure in heaven and come, follow me. This is the correction that the young man received from Jesus. But how did the man respond? Next verse, 22. But when the young man heard that saying, what did he do? He went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. In the passage that we just read, we found a young man who refused to receive correction. And I mean, this correction comes from Jesus himself. But whatever it was, whether the love for his possessions or whether his pride, whatever it was, it came in the way between him and Jesus to the point that he did not want to heed the correction. In fact, he left. He left mad. Do you see the two different responses to correction? David, as the king of Israel, accepted Nathan's correction. In contrast, this young, rich young man rejected the correction. And you probably understand, receiving correction is not fun. It's uncomfortable. It's not an enjoyable experience. And some corrections, I understand, are not given in the best way possible. But that's not our focus this morning. We're not going to be focusing on how to give correction, but we're going to focus on receiving correction. And I understand sometimes that the bad corrections given by people put us in this defensive mode. It brings a wall between us and the person. Being corrected is not fun, and sometimes it takes a great deal of courage to admit that we have been wrong. As difficult as it may be, I want to suggest this morning that we need correction. We need to be open to it. So let's go to our key verse this morning, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. My wife and I came across this verse in our family worship, and it just stood out at me. Proverbs 15, verse 10. Are you there? The Bible says, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who what? He who hates correction will die. Let's take a closer look at this last phrase. He who hates correction will die. I want to focus on the verb that is in that phrase. He who what? Who hates. It does not say reject. It says hate. And I believe reject and hate is different. When you reject, there is a slight moment, at least, when you consider what the other person is saying. But when you hate, you just close your ear to it. You're done. You don't even consider it. Just think about it like a door. Correction knocks at the door. And you already made up your mind that you won't let him in without even peeking to see who it is. You're done. You can accept no more of it. But you know what that sounds like? It's like we are rejecting an opportunity to change for the better. Sometimes we reply, this is who I am. I've always been this way, and I will continue to be this way. It's like this young, rich young man in the story. When he heard the saying, when he heard Jesus' correction, he what? He went away. And how did he went away? How did he go away? Sorrowful. He just rejected that. And let me ask you this. Who does God use as an agent to bring about change in our life? It's the Holy Spirit. When we hate correction, we are closing ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And at that point, you are on a dangerous ground. Very dangerous ground. And this is why the verse reads, let's focus on the very last part of that phrase. He who hates correction will die. King Solomon was inspired when he wrote this chapter, and the Lord said, Solomon, you need to make this verse as plain as possible. He who hates correction will die. There's no more room for misunderstanding there. The consequence of not heeding correction is death. And here is why. We want to look a little deeper at this. Why? Why is it if we are not heeding to correction, we will die? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17 to understand the reason why we need correction. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 will reveal our true condition. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Are you there? The Bible says the heart is what? Deceitful. What does that mean? Full of lies. Other Bible translation says misleading. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Other Bible version use corrupt. Our heart is corrupt. Who can know it? Let's go to verse 10. I, the Lord, what does he do? He searched the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways according to the fruit of his doings. And we know that action springs from the heart. Right? And if God were to reward man according to his action, and the source of that action is deceitful and wicked, what would God give us? We are doomed. Do you realize that we are not going in the right direction? We're not going to live. We will die. And this is why we need correction. If we were to just follow our hearts, just like what Disney says, or just like what the world says, we're not going to end up in the right path. We need somebody to correct us. We need somebody to tell us, you gotta make a U-turn. And the Bible also warned us about this in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This is why we need correction. And speaking about correction, let's take a look at a different text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Are you there? All right. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you see that the Bible is meant to be the corrector in our lives? The Bible is meant for our correction. But here's the question. Do we let the Bible to correct us? To tell you the truth, sometimes we come to the Bible wanting to read and hear what we want to hear and read. We come to the Bible with a closed heart. We're not ready to be rebuked. We don't want to hear any correction. Lord, please don't tell me to change. Isn't that true? Sometimes we come to the Bible with this mentality. We don't even give room for the Holy Spirit to tell us what we need to work on. The Bible is meant to correct us, to tell us that we are wrong and we need to change. And if we are not open to be corrected by the Word of God, what else would change us? Who else can tell us? Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. A lot of the times when we quote this verse, we don't read verse 17. But verse 17 tells us the end goal. When we let the Bible to correct us as a person, we will be complete. That means our lives are not complete without the Bible. On the other hand, it is complete when we let the Bible to change us through correction. And again, this is why we need correction. We need to let the Word of God to do the deep work in our hearts. All right, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living. Who can discern the intents of the heart? Sometimes other people around us don't really know what is going on in our heart. But God does. The Word of God knows. Can divide even our motives. The thoughts that are only belong to you. So here's the question for us to reflect. Have we stopped receiving correction? have we been close to it? And from my observation, is that it may not be our conscious decision. It's not like we come to one day and we said, I'm done. I think I'm good in my life. I'm settled. And I don't need no more correction. We don't usually make decisions like that. But it may be what's happening in our lives. It may be unconscious that we start closing our ears to correction. And let me mention a couple of realizations from my personal experience. The reason why we close our ears to correction. First one, we're close to correction when they come in an unpleasant way. I mentioned this earlier, whether it comes within a rude voice, rude tone of voice, whether it comes in the worst choice of words, we immediately close up to correction. It discourages us from listening to it. And I'm sure you understand what that means, but again, as imperfect as how it's communicated, try to eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Because we're all growing, amen? And God works through human agencies. As imperfect as we are as a church, we step on each other's toes sometimes, or more frequent than that. But all of this are used by God for us to grow. And when we get to heaven, the growth does not stop, right? We will continue to grow. So I want to instill in our minds this mindset that as imperfect as correction may come your way, look beyond that person. Desire that growth. And just be listening to the voice of God. Maybe the Lord is speaking through this person. Eat the watermelon, but spit out the seeds. Okay, second observation that I made. We are also close to corrections when it comes from the unexpected or wrong person. Have you noticed that in your life? This happens often in Asian culture. It's a wishful thinking for parents to admit that they are wrong. They're not even open to any correction from their children. Because anything that comes from my children is labeled as wrong. We're way more seasoned than you guys. So it's a question for us to reflect. Maybe correction comes from this unexpected or wrong person. What if it comes from your spouse? What if it comes from your students? What if it comes from somebody who has less experience than you? What if it comes from the new baby in the faith? I mean, God works through mysterious ways. And a lot of the times, from the short time that I've lived, God knows exactly what we need to hear. He knows the condition of our heart. He brings about just the right situation to confront us about our unchristlike character. And if we don't get over that, it's going to come around again. And He does this for one and only reason, because He loves us. He wants us to be like Him. So sometimes we're closed to correction for many other reasons, but it's important for us to be aware of these things. Have I been closed to correction? Let's go back to the story of David. If you don't mind turning back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And at the end of this story, we read verse 13. Now we're going to finish verse 13. So David said to Nathan, after hearing all the correction, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. Now pay attention to what Nathan says next to David. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has what? Put away your sin and you shall not die. This is exactly the contrast of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. When we hate correction, we will die. When we close our ears just to be rebuked and just to be corrected, we will end up in the wrong path. But here we see in the story of David, when he is open to correction, he lives. He will not die. Now, let me ask you this question. Did David have to listen to Nathan? No. I mean, he's the king. God instated him as a king. There's so much power in his hand. If he were to say, Nathan, go out from my face, he would go out. He would leave. He is the king. But he did not let his pride or the shame to hinder him from accepting this correction. His heart was big enough to admit that he was wrong. And we see the result that the moment you heed the warning to turn around, to change from the path of death, you have life. You're going in the right direction. And the reality is, this is what Jesus wanted to do. This is the very reason why he came to this earth, to correct us from the path of death. The greatest call to turn around comes from the cross. The greatest call to turn around comes from the cross. He says, I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you so you can get what you deserve. I'm willing to lower my life, leave heaven and all its splendor and glory, just to come here to be just like you, to correct you, to call you to turn around, to bring you into everlasting life. Amen. How open are we to correction? Remember, friends, that we're not going in the best direction by default. Because we sinned, we are on this trajectory to death. And we need to be willing to receive correction, ultimately from the Word of God. Could it be that there are still some areas of our life where we are just not open to correction? We're just not open for a change. Maybe we're telling ourselves, I've always been this way. Why should I change? But God wants to change exactly that. He wants us to turn around and be open to correction. We need correction. We need to welcome it. Give it a chance. Consider it. If it's in accordance with the truth, most of the time, it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But the moment we hate it, we will continue in this slippery slope that will lead us to death. Really, the goal of this sermon is to encourage us to heed correction, to listen, to give it a chance. Too often, when our pride is hurt, when our toes are stepped, we just cross this person off from our life. But could it be that God is speaking to you through that person? The next time correction is knocking at your door, instead of ignoring it, take a peek. Take a peek, see if he is true. Take a peek to see if he is worth following. If it's not, then reject it. But if it's in accordance to the word of God, it may be worth following. It will lead you to the path of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we realize that we're not perfect. We realize that we are in need of change and transformation and correction in our lives. But Father, we also realize that there are many things that hinder us from opening ourselves to be corrected. Whether it's our pride, whether it's our image, or whatever it is. Please send us your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you may soften our hearts. Please continue to speak to us. We don't want to close the door for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We don't want to sin against the Holy Spirit to the point that He doesn't even bother to correct us anymore. But we want to grow. We want to be more like Jesus. And sometimes these trials and temptations come in the most unpleasant way. But you have allowed it to happen for a reason. And you have given us a way of escape just as that temptation comes. So we pray, dear God, that we may be open to correction. We may not just discard correction at its face value, but help us to be open just to consider it, just to welcome it, to see if it's worth following and to see if it's in accordance with the Word of God. Once again, dear God, we pray that you will help us to be more and more like you. Take away our stubborn heart and give us a heart of flesh. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org? You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.